Hello, guys. Welcome to the Black Spin Global podcast. I am Lucy, and today is day 7 at Wimbledon, and we are joined once again by Anastasia from the Grand Pass podcast. Anastasia, how are you?
I am good. Hello. It was a very interesting day of tennis, and I'm excited to chat about it.
Yes, yes. I really loved our pod yesterday. Eugene loved our pod yesterday. A lot of people were loving it. So
thanks, Eugene.
Glad to have you back again, especially after such it's crazy how there was only 3 matches for us, and it didn't feel like it. I feel like I've been here since like early morning. Yeah, I came here like early afternoon. I got here like half noon. And it just feels like I've been here since 7 a.m. This is how much energy these matches have taken from us. Like, it's crazy.
It was a lot today. It was a lot of emotions, I have to say. I'm not even going to lie. I kind of cried a little bit at the end of the Paolini match. Like, it was a very emotional day, everyone.
It was emotional. So let's actually crack on with the actual emotional match, which was the first match of the day. Madison Keys versus Jasmine Paolini. A match that Paolini won 6-3, 7-6, 5-5 due to Madison Keys, unfortunately, retiring because of an injury. The injury has not really been confirmed yet. Obviously, she did not do press, rightfully so. But from the look of it, it was her left thigh.
Yeah.
I think in the past she did injure that same. I think she had like a, I can't remember if it was an abductor or is it?
Yeah. A groin kind of thing, but I've definitely seen her with that wrapping before.
Exactly.
I actually just remember exactly where I saw that wrapping. Mm-hmm. And it was a very similar situation. US Open last year against Sabalenka. It was another match like that where she could have won and then she got a medical timeout and then had to wrap the leg. Right. Oh, wow. It's actually very similar.
Because I remember, I didn't remember when, but I remember her having that kind of similar injury. But yeah, man, what a match. Like the first set, Jasmine was like dominating it. She was up like 4-0 at one point, and I felt like Jasmine that match leveled up every single tactic that she had. Her serve, her net points, reducing the errors, aiming for winners. It's like literally everything she was like, okay, I have to step it up, which makes sense because, you know, Keys is such a, big hitter, and she knew that, all right, this is going to be a tough one. I felt like today they played their toughest opponent. So Keys, she played a tougher opponent, which I kept on saying, hence why I was like, I can see Keys winning, but if she wins, it's going to be a tough battle. I kept on saying it to Eugene and other people. And I was like, yeah, you know, it'll be really tough. I feel like Paolini kind of had some tough battles, but that was definitely her toughest one. But yeah, and then, you know, that first set, it just went through. Paolini just like literally just went through like crazy. I was like, oh my gosh, she might actually win this match in straight sets. Like, this is going to be crazy. I guess Keys, who has not dropped a set, who's, you know, she's really good on grass, like, you know, but then that second set, oh my goodness. Listen, guys, tennis. If you are listening to this podcast, I am so sorry to tell you, if you haven't watched this match, I am so sorry to tell you that you missed the match of the tournament. No cap. That was literally the match of the bloody tournament. They were battling through like crazy. Although Keys lost that first set, you know, she ended up literally going from 5-1. And then it was battle, net points, hitting, serve. Next thing you know, Jasmine is up 5-5. I was like, wait, hold on a minute. What is going on? How did we go from 5-1 to 5-5 to a tiebreak? That tiebreak was just insane. Like, I don't even know how to even describe the level of that match. Like, everything that you could just think of, like, they were both fighting as if they were, like, the next round is the finals. Yeah. And I'm like, girls, relax. It's a fourth round. You're going to eat. Don't worry. You're going to get some, okay? You're going to get there. Like, the fourth round. And this is the match you're giving us. This is amazing. It was really, really good tennis. And that tiebreak, Keys won it. And I think that set made me love Keys even more than ever, because I was like, wow, like, I put my hands up. I did not think Keys was going to win that second set, you know?
Yeah.
I really didn't, especially after Jasmine, like, putting through all the way up. But it was just amazing. And it was good for Keys to able to show that, okay, hey, listen, I've been here for years. You know, I'm glad that you've done your job and stuff, like, you've been doing well, but I've been here for years. Let me show you how these big hitters do it. And she did it. She literally little boyed Jasmine Paolini right there and then quickly. But yeah, well, the third set went up as, again, I feel like that second set really helped Keys to, you know, motivate her and stuff. Third set comes, she's up again, ready to serve for the match. And then all of a sudden, her body just, like, it gave up on her like this.
It was weird. It was very weird, the injury. But before we go into it, I just want to sort of talk about the tennis a little bit, because just like you said, like, if you're listening to this podcast and you didn't watch this match,
mate,
stop listening to the podcast, go watch the match and come back. And talk to us and let us know. You know, send Black Spin Global a message. Let us know what you thought, because the tennis that these two players produced was next level. And speaking on separately on the players, you know, Jasmine Paolini is someone who, for some people, came out of nowhere, but she's been around, she's been grinding, she's been playing really well, you know, and just this year, her trajectory has just gone she just skyrocketed. And, you know, I think, you know, I'm comparing her to another Italian player, but a lot of people talk about the end of last year and it was Sinner and post-puke Sinner. And, you know, he made this run and now he's number one. I'm like, Paolini had the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, Billie Jean King Cup last year was next level. And yes, Canada won that in the end. But that battle between Leila Fernandez and Jasmine Paolini, I'll never forget it. That match was also a banger. And, you know, but Paolini has steadily made her rise. And the fact that she's leveling up her game on all these different surfaces.
Yeah.
It's a sight to see. And, you know, if you're not following Jasmine Paolini, you need to, like, stop what you're doing.
Honestly.
You need to start following her now. I think in the live rankings, she's now in the top five.
She's like a six right now. She's ranked. It's crazy. I think she probably even gone, like, that's the last time I checked. Let me check real quick. Let's see.
Because I mean, she's bringing that level.
And she's about to beat Pegula. Is she in the next round? 100%. If she wins the next round, she's definitely going to be top five. I already said on the pods before that she's making it to the WTA finals this year. Like, I'm calling it. I've been saying it at the beginning of this year. I was like, I'm calling it WTA finals. She's going to be there. But no, you're definitely right. Like, again, it's new to a lot of people. That some people are looking at that draw like, what's going on? But I'm telling you, out all of the four players left on that side, Paolini is not someone that just popped up out of nowhere. She really worked like really hard and stuff for her to
really
get
really
there.
Hard. And you know, on Madison, you know, she's been in and out and stuff, but she is a big hitter. She's a beautiful player, and grass is kind of her surface, you know? Her doing well on grass should not be a surprise to anyone. And I think she definitely was surprised by Paolini's level maybe in the first set, but she, like you said, she was like, no, this is my house.
Exactly.
And she was like, let me show you how it's done, because I've been here before. And then, so to have So that's why I think I got so emotional, because to see these two players battle, and mm-hmm. I was like, I was watching every point. I was so in it.
Yeah.
And then just like that, it was just...
It's just crazy how it just changed and switched so quickly. Like,
yeah,
played that first couple of games. She was, you know, ready. And then next thing you know, I think I was even checking something, and I just see, you know, medical timer. I'm like, wait, what's going on? And again, now court, come back. I'm like, wait, she's not even walking properly. Like, it was like my heart, like, I honestly, I nearly cried. Like, I really felt for her, because it's like, it's obviously it's better for you to lose the match or end a match properly. Like, you know, you lost your point, that's it, boom, rather than losing it like that after such a crazy battle. Like, it's not a thing of like it was a crappy match. It was a thing where she fought and fought and fought, and her body just gave up on her, just had that. And man, like, sports is very, it's very unfortunate. It's so sad. Like, sports is very tough. And in all honesty, I really feel like Keys really and truly should have bagged 2 Wimbledon slams by now. Like, honestly speaking, I feel like if she had a healthy body, if she didn't, you know, if the injury didn't get to her so often, she 100% would have. I mean, last year she lost to Sabalenka. Like, she's always been great on grass. Yeah. Eastbourne, she's been great. Like, she barely plays like crazy tournaments. But when she's back and she's feeling 100%, she's playing so well. And what I like as well is that she doesn't come... It's weird. It's like she's aggressive, but when you see her and the way she moves, you don't get that. But when she hits, boom. It's like, whoa, what happened there? Like, you know, like, even Pauline did her press conference. She literally said, there's times where Keys hit the ball, I generally don't see the ball. Like, it's going so fast. Like, I don't see it. But besides that, I really, really, really hope whatever she has is something really light. And I can't wish for anything more than a speedy recovery to Keys. And I hope that she keeps her head up, because, boy, she really gave us a match. Like, both of them literally gave their all. Like, people got their money's worth. And I got on that court today. Like, they on number one court, that first match, people definitely got their money's worth. Like, that was good tennis. Oh, sorry for swearing. Definitely going to bleep that out. But, but yeah, see, that's how good it was. That's how you know it was serious. But yeah, either way, I want to ask you this question. If that didn't happen, do you think Keys would have won that match, or Paolini would have still won that match?
Okay, yeah, yes. Same. Like, something changed in that second set. It was like Madison was like, and I think that's why it hurt her so much. Like, she was devastated.
Yeah, she was. She was literally crying on court.
Because I think she knew she was going to win that match, and she was going to be in the quarterfinals of Wimbledon, and she would have had a chance. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think all of those emotions were that realization.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're right.
It was tough. Oh, man. You're right. It was a really, really tough watch. And I really hope it's not serious. Like, you know, people might be wondering, like, What was the injury? It's hard to tell, because she took like, there wasn't a fall. There wasn't anything. It seemed like maybe she just stepped weird or something, but it's tough to tell exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So I hope it's not bad. And then she comes back quick.
Same. Well, either way, Jasmine still during that match played her absolute best. Like, her, like, literally, like, I think I even tweeted, like, this is actually the best performance that Paolini put. And playing against a player like Keys is not easy, especially that there's, I mean, you need to consider as well the height difference. It's so funny. Like, Paolini, like, is just like this tiny little girl. And
it's, you know, wild. It's just
like, I'm like, where is all this power coming from? Like,
where
are you putting it? Because, girl,
I love it. Oh,
you and I are the
it.
Same
she's
height.
So
and I'm like five
small.
Foot. Yeah, it's just so tiny. I'm 5 foot, like, 1.5. And I'm like, girl, you're literally the same height as me, a little bit shorter. And you still have so much power. So shout out to her. And I know that power is going to be needed for her next round. I don't want to talk too much about her next opponent, because we're going to talk about it more into details later on. But I did ask her, funny enough, there was this funny little thing. So I basically said,
I was laughing.
I know. It's even funny on audio. I'll actually like, actually, you know what? Let's actually include it with the question and stuff. It's actually pretty funny how I asked this question. I was like, oh, sorry, but you know, I'm still learning with this journalism thing. Yeah. So here's what the question that I asked Jasmine during her press conference today.
Congratulations, Jasmine. Thank you. Your next round, you could possibly have either Goff or Emma Navarro. However, you haven't really beaten them yet.
Yes.
How do you feel having to actually play them to on a surface that is this year where you're actually really getting into?
Yeah, number one against them. So it's going to be tough, you know, but I think every match is different, you know. I'm going to step on court trying to play my game, to try to beat one of them. But, you know, it's not going to be easy because I think both of them are playing unbelievable. Coco, it's an unbelievable player. She won Grand Slams, many tournaments. But Emma, for me, it's one... She played tennis in a special way. I mean, she has so fast hand. I love how she played tennis. So it's going to be tough, you know, but I'm here to be ready to try to do match with them, to try to play a good performance, you know.
Yeah, so Jasmine has a tough battle. Obviously, when she was like we said on the audio there, at that time Coco and Navarro did not play, so she did not know who yet. But now she has Navarro, very, very, very tough. I feel like this might even be tougher for her than Keys. What do you think?
It's going to be different. It's going to be different. Because I think Keys' weapons are easy to identify. You know, she's a big hitter. You can almost have a game plan when you come into a match with Keys. You know, whether it will work or not, you don't know. But at least you have a game plan.
Sure.
With Navarro, she is such an interesting player. And I mean, are we going to do her match now? Like, do you want to
I think, you know what? I wanted to go in the order of the match, but now that we're talking about Navarro, we might as well. And plus, it's
we might as well.
We might as well.
But so this was the match against, it was Coco Gauff versus Emma Navarro. I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit like, this is going to be a tough one.
I think everyone expected that to be tough. And Emma won that 6-4, 6-3. And yeah, everyone knew it was going to be tough for that. So yeah, I know Coco
started. I didn't think it would be straight sets.
I'll agree with you because of especially how well Coco was playing the match before. And even this match, like, she started off really well. Like, she made me feel at ease the first like 3-4 games. I was like, yeah, we're good. Like, you know, she started off strong, confidence. Again, forehands were looking clean, smooth as butter, just like I said. But I felt like little by little, Emma was just piling up. But yeah, you can go further because unfortunately the second set I missed it because I had to go to Shelton's press conference. But yeah, what did you think of the match?
So I definitely agree about the first set. The first set, they were even, and I thought Coco was actually playing better in the first set.
Yeah.
And it's just those little things. You see, that's the thing about tennis too. It's, you know, it's those little points. All of a sudden your opponent has a break point and then they take the first set. So I actually think in a way, like, Navarro almost just like stole that first set. I don't like saying that, like, because obviously they're playing well, but I think they were pretty much on even footing in that first set. And then the second set started. And the thing that Navarro does sometimes, it's like she, you know, she pushes a little bit. Like, I was listening to the commentators and they were talking a little bit of how, you know, she's adjusting where she's standing. Like, she's standing closer on the baseline to take the ball early, which then puts pressure on the opponent. And she was literally doing that. And I think Coco started feeling that pressure. And two things happened in that second set that I was like, oh, I, you know, I see how Navarro is a very tricky player, and you know, she has that kind of experience and match sort of, she's played a lot of matches. So she kind of knows how to do these things, but you know, it's like Coco would ask questions, like, you know, she would hit the ball harder. She would, you know, loop it. She would, she was doing all these lobs. She just kept trying things. And Navarro was like, copy, got it. Let me, this is the answer. Mm-hmm. And I think that frustrated Coco, because she's like, I'm trying all the things that would work. And Navarro was like, I'm still here. I'm still here. And then Coco started talking to the box. And I thought that was a little distracting. So it just became, the second set just started getting away. And next thing you know, Emma has a break. And then she held for, and the match is over. It was actually kind of fast how it ended.
Yeah.
And I was surprised, because I was like, I really thought this would be a battle. I thought, okay. After the first set, I was like, that's cool. Navarro's taking the first set, but here we go. We're going to go three. Mm-hmm. And it just went away from her. So it's one of, Navarro has this thing where even when she is under pressure, there's this calm, like there's no emotion. It doesn't have, I don't even think she did one fist pump. Like it was kind of, she was just like, okay, go back to the service line, serve. Okay, go back to the service line, hit a ball. So she doesn't show it. And I feel like that sometimes can maybe be intimidating to the other person, because the other person can't read what's happening. I don't know. She's a very tricky player, but then she's good.
Yeah, like she is good.
She is good. Her tennis is up there. Mm-hmm. And I think she's not flashy, so a lot of people don't know her name per se. She just like, all of a sudden, so the first time I actually watched her in person was at Indian Wells, where she beat Aryna Sabalenka. And everyone was like, who? What? But she played so well. And then everyone's like, wait, how is there a player that's playing so well and nobody knows, you know?
Yeah.
So she's very, very tricky. I did think this match was tricky. Coco has been playing so well this tournament. I really thought that no matter what the opponent was, Coco would have done it, because she had been playing so well. So that's why I was actually very interested to see what she said in press, you know?
Yeah.
And you got to talk to her there. So what was that?
Yeah, like? It was, first of all, I was a bit worried, you know, a lot of times with Coco, I've lost that, like, she comes into press and she looked like she cried or something, but I think she accepted the fact that, you know, it just wasn't her day. So yeah, it was easy to talk her through. And I'm glad that you brought up the whole like box thing and her talking to her box a lot and like the whole mental stuff, because to be fair, she was asked about that. Shout out to Ava from the Washington Post. She did ask her, like, you know, you kept going back and forth to your box and everything. And, you know, she was like, you know, we had a game plan happening, but it just wasn't working. I didn't find any solution. And she was like, she feels like mentally she had a lot going on today and she wanted a little bit more direction from the box, because she just couldn't think of like anything. I don't know, maybe she was thinking too much or she was struggling a little bit. Yeah, literally, like, you know, and she said that before it has happened. I mean, it's happened before and everything, but it's just one of those days. But other than that, you know, we try to stay on the quote unquote positive. You know, some of you might find it corny, but it is what it is, you know. Like, I feel like it's so good for the player to go back and be like, okay, what I could have done and stuff. And again, like I said before, I was really impressed about like her forehands the last two matches, and I really wanted to ask her about that. Like, hey, like, how did you manage to level up? You know, especially that people always talk about it all the time. Obviously, I didn't say that, but I just said, like, you know, like, yeah, you know, you've leveled it up like very quickly. You know, especially for the last two matches, like, how did you manage to do that? And this is what she actually answered as well.
Just a lot of practice. And I do think that the last couple matches has been better than it has in the past, compared to maybe Australian Open this year to now. And I think I have a lot of work to do on both my forehand and back. And I think this tournament, I feel like it could have been better on both sides when it came to those low balls, like slice, short slices that you get on grass. But I am happy with the progress. Obviously, I know if I want to get further, not only in this tournament, but in future tournaments, it's something that I have to continue to work on.
But yeah, I find it interesting how she said that she feels like she could also improve her backhand. And I was like, if I could, in that room, I would have interrupted it like, girl, what are you talking about? Your backhand is what really like helped you, because these girls are hitting to your forehand, which, you know, you had to improve to do it. But it shows to you how much she wants to keep on being a better player. She's very much aware. She's self-aware of like what the things she has to improve on. Because in all honesty, today, it wasn't a thing of physical. It was just mental. That was just what it was. And it was also Navarro just playing so flipping good. Like, she was just amazing. Like, there's literally like nothing to say. So yeah, I mean, either way, it's not like last year. Okay.
No. Yeah.
It's not like last year. No. She made it all the way to the fourth round and she didn't lose to, you know, someone who's not been playing well. I mean, Navarro literally knocked out Osaka, like, very, I feel like she was even tougher on Osaka than even Coco, to be fair. And she's slowly looking like, you know, she could easily, you know, think. But Navarro, I'm looking at you. You're out here knocking at my girls, you know, Osaka and Coco. And now Paolini next.
Paolini.
You
know,
I do have my Dr. Umar hat on right now, because if next round with Paolini, you know, we're going to have a word. I'm going to have an issue right there.
There'll be conversations had.
Conversations will definitely be. I'll pop up.
Lucy's going to show up at a press conference.
I'm going to pop up at a press conference with, you know, Dr. Humor at on. And be like, what do you mean by that? What's going on? But speaking of a match with Paolini, how do you actually think their battle is going to go?
It's tough to, like, give the edge in this, but I love that I think Paolini has a little bit more variety.
Mm.
And she has a little bit more things that she can do in a match like that.
That's a good point.
And I also like the fact that Paolini, she comes in with a plan. Like, even with the match with Madison Keys, the reason I think she ran away with that first set just like that, because she was like, bet, I have a plan, execute, go. And she does it quick. So, you know, maybe I'm giving the slight edge to Paolini. But it's, again, it's going to be another tough one. Like, Emma Navarro is someone to pay attention to. Like, she's trying to make her presence known, if quietly. But, you know, I'll watch it. That's, I would love to see how Paolini would sort of solve that issue.
No, yeah, 100%.
And,
yeah.
And just on something, I just want to say, this is like a little bit away from the tennis, but we'll come back to the tennis, because you said something about how Black Spin Global likes to keep things positive. Mm-hmm. It's not corny. That's how it should always be. Positivity always. Because guys, do you think the players don't know what's wrong? They're professional tennis players with coaches. And, you know, do you think they don't know? They know. Facts. You don't have to point it out.
I mean, to be fair, it's not corny, like, to me personally.
No, yeah, no,
times,
yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Like, at times,
no, I do.
Like,
I do. Yeah, because, no, I completely, yeah. I get it. But I just wanted to say, because I love the way you ask those questions. I feel like they're more interesting. And the answers you get are more interesting. Mm, true, so yeah. I love it. Keep the positivity going.
I'm going to be so honest. Literally, my heart races like crazy when it's my turn to ask like the questions. Like, I just get so nervous. And I'm like, oh my God. That's how the Paolini thing happened. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. But thank God she's such like, I love going to her press. She's like the most bubbly, happy, like, she's just so adorable. Like, I just like hers, yeah. Keys and Sloan Stephens are easily like my favorite like press conference. In terms of the men, I would say probably Ben Shelton as well. He's very interactive and stuff.
That's a good group.
Yeah, very good group. Shout out to them. They really make it easy. But Yeah, we'll be looking forward to this Jasmine Paolini versus Navarro. It's going to be interesting. So, guys, unless you have work or important stuff, if you don't, again, please, 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 please make sure that you tune in into that match right there. Because if you miss Keys today and Paolini, you don't want to miss Navarro and Paolini at all. Don't let the small names and... Funny enough, you know, Coco actually did speak about it. Because I was just about to say that. Don't let, like, the small names, like, think that, you know, they're not going to be going far and stuff. They're not going to do it as well, you know. Because she did say that, I think someone must have asked her, like, you know, like, if she felt any pressure being one of the few top seeds left. And you know, she was like, listen, the seeds are just a number, you know, it means nothing. And I think even people are even disrespectful to those who are not seeded high, because, you know, just because their ranking isn't there doesn't mean that the level isn't there. They're there for a reason. They deserve their spot. There's no easy draw. And I love how she said that. It's really important, because I literally even remember myself. To be fair, Eugene actually always says it. You know, he's like, listen, he doesn't like looking down into the drawers too much. He always said that.
Yeah.
Because you just never know. You just never know. And I remember even saying it back to him in one of our pod. It was like, yeah, you said it before. And it's like, I think it was Australian Open. Australian Open, we were seeing names. I was like, who are these people? Who are you? Respectfully. Like, there's no problem with you being there. But how in the hell did you get there?
Yep.
But it's more of a, I said it more of a way of like, when it comes to Grand Slams, people play their best tennis. They playing like their life is on the line.
Depending on
the
it.
The way they're playing at 250s, 500s and whatnot is nowhere near the same. So shout out to Coco for saying that. That was really, really important. And I hope people realize that and actually really tune in and watch these matches, because I'm telling you, these women matches are eating up the men's matches. Like, they've been great. And this is not even just this Wimbledon. It's been like this for a very hot minute. Like, you men need to step up.
you need to make it more interesting.
Make it more interesting. And speaking of the men, who actually did give us an interesting match, especially that last set. Ah, Ben Shelton versus Jannik Sinner, the Italian number one. He's still number one, right? Yeah. Italian number one.
Yeah.
He won 6-2, 6-4, 7-6, right? It's funny because during that match, Shelton served really big and he was hitting like many winners and stuff, but the focus and the energy was nowhere near the same as his other matches, which makes perfect sense because, in case you're not aware, Shelton has been playing basically five, six days straight, and literally they were all long matches. He did have one slight little break the day before. Because the day before it meant to be the Chapo match, the Shapovalov match. And obviously there was rain delay. They only play like five games. So he did have a little bit of break, but still, you know, he probably was still on site, you know,
he was still on site,
thinking that there's gonna be a match. Because it's still not like a full day, like body and mental rest. But yeah, literally, you know, it wasn't nowhere the same. And while that was happening, you have Jannik Sinner, who's on form. You know, he won a title just before getting to Wimbledon. He does really well here. He does go far. I think this is his third quarterfinals at Wimbledon, I believe, as well. So yeah, you know, but that third, that... that final set, he was really close to taking it to a fourth set. He even saved some match points during the tie break. You know, like it was really intense. Like that third set was very entertaining, very good. Like it was padding up, like it was getting there. But fatigue got to him. And even the way he lost that match shows to you that he got to him, because he literally lost that match on a double fault serve. I feel like the way he... If he was, you know, feeling good physically, mentally, I think Shelton actually could have won that match. I don't know if I'm being delusional.
I don't think you're being delusional at all. It's really funny every time. I feel like maybe the first time Shelton and Sinner played, it definitely wasn't, you know, Shelton was one-sided. Still new, but exactly, it was like one-sided. He was still new, but as Shelton's game has improved and they've played again, I'm like, mm-hmm. he's going to get there. And unfortunately, you know, this is the circumstances of the tournament. It's been raining not every day, but close to every day.
Basically, apologies, man.
It's been rough. Mm-hmm. And Shelton, unfortunately, has been a victim of that because he's played every day. And I know the day that you're talking about where he only played a few games mm-hmm. and then it was delayed and then they finally canceled it. But before they cancel it, it's like he's already on site.
Yeah.
They don't cancel it right away. They can't. Mm-hmm. It takes a while. Mm-hmm. So it's not a day off. It's like, mm-hmm. yes, he's not playing tennis, but it's not fully a day off. It's not a day off mentally. Still has to stay in it. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think you talked to him about this in press, but I just think he was fatigued and he couldn't give it his all. Mm-hmm. Because he showed there in that third set that he still had some fight, but he just needed a little bit more energy.
Yeah, no, honestly. And funny enough, you know, in terms of like him feeling that way, a lot of people, and I'll put my hands up, including myself, when I saw yesterday that he was playing doubles, I was like, what is he doing?
I thought he would pull out. Yeah.
What is he doing? And I thought the same. Like, when he won a shuffle match, I was waiting for the email from Wimbledon to send us here's updates, you know, whoever pulled out, blah, blah. Because I remember, it's like Perica, when he won his first or second match, immediately we got an email, he pulled out doubles. Like, he wasted no time. They were like, yeah, due to illness. We were like, yeah, uh-huh, mm-hmm. illness. But it's funny because he was asked about that, you know, about like, you know, like having to play doubles and going through that after 15 sets of tennis, you know, and just see how he came up with that decision. And he gave a really good answer to a point where I actually had like a lot more respect for him. And I was like, you know what, I actually respect the fact that you're still playing. And here's what he had to say.
I definitely wouldn't go back on it. I wouldn't pull out. You know, I think that it's a lot more important who you are and how you treat the people around you, how you treat your friends. And I'm playing with somebody who's a friend who waited 4 days for me to play doubles together. And I'm not just going to pull out on him last second. I made the commitment to sign up for the tournament. So I think that it was important for me that I saw it through. Maybe in the future, it's certain tournaments, I won't sign up for the doubles, but if I sign up, I'm not going to pull out.
But yeah, like he said, he made a commitment. He's built different. Basically, Shelton said, I'm a real one. Get to know. I'm a real one. I'm not going to let him down. So I really respect Shelton for that. He's right. You can't make someone, you know, wait for that long and then be like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not doing it because of self. Yeah. So McDonald, you better play well. You better play well.
I think they won their doubles, right?
But they did. They actually did. Yeah. Yeah, they did. They eventually they went to three sets, but they did win it. He literally, right after that match, he still went to play. So shout out to Shelton for being a real one and not letting McDonald down and stuff. It's funny because a follow-up question after that was, hey, did someone from your team actually, you know, discourage you from not doing it, like to pull out and stuff? And then he answered, that's between me and my team. On the transcript, it sounds strict, but the way he said it was like kind of like we laughed after when he said it. And I was like, okay, we understand. You know, I think he said that in a way of like, I don't want to say who in my team is saying, you know, pull out and stuff. But either way, I'm glad, like, I respect that decision a lot. Like
I kind of like that a lot.
Mm-hmm,
I like it a lot. Even like, first of all, I like the fact that he made a commitment to McDonald and he was like, I'm going to hold up my part of the bargain and actually play this match. But then I also like the fact that he was like, let's just keep, you know, someone on my team told me not to do it. Yeah. But it's okay. We're not going to go down that
road. He's real. I like real people.
Nice.
I like it. He's a real one. But either way, shout out to Shelton. He has played really well. I think I tweeted this on the Black Spin Global Twitter. account, and I basically said, like, we need to keep in mind that he started off this grass season extremely rough. You know, Péricard knocked him out at Queens. I remember watching him practice at Queens, actually, and I watched maybe his entire practice session. He was not looking good. I was like, oof. So, you know, that's another reason why I was very confident when he was playing Péricard the first round. And I remember telling people, like, yeah, he's not going to win. There was two reasons. I saw Mepeshi Péricard playing so well. And I also watched Shelton's practice. And I was like, this is bad. Like, this is not good. And then, you know, Mallorca reached the semifinals. And then, quarterfinals, I believe. Quarterfinals. And then he just comes here and he just plays so well, like really, really good. And I think I even asked him about that as well. The press conference is funny because all the Americans were watching Coco. As I said, that match was during, I was kind of free to ask more than one question. And I actually did ask him, like, you know, which one did he enjoy? Like, now that he's done with singles games, how did he feel playing both like clay and grass? You know, he said that he likes playing on both surfaces. He does feel like grass is a lot tougher surface on his body. You know, and he was like, a lot of the guys have gone down in the last 2 weeks, like, you know, like so many like pulling out with serious injuries and everything. He said that he wasn't even sure he was even going to play his first round after he took like a really bad fall. Because it can be like very dangerous and stuff, but he still feels like grass suits his game better, which I found really interesting. But yeah, I think you even said it yesterday. You feel like Shelton as well is an all around player, and I agree with you. I lean more on clay than grass, though. I remember even just last year, when I was watching his clay matches, I was like, all this man needs is more experience. And he's clear. He just needs more experience. I think a lot of people tend to forget, you know, that he just started this. Like, this is literally his second year. And this year hasn't even ended. We're literally just only just halfway. But yeah, he played really well. And he had tough conditions, long matches, back-to-back. And he lost to the number one player, who's most people's favorite, you know. And the last question I actually did ask him was, you know, because one thing that I noticed was, like, when he was playing here, whenever he had long matches, but whenever he was, like, under pressure, like, let's say he was down and stuff, because he said today he felt like he could have taken that third set going to fourth. And I totally agree with him. And because his level just went up because, you know, it was getting close to, like, the match ending. So I asked him about that, like, do you feel like, you know, you play better under pressure and stuff and everything? And this is what he actually said.
Yeah, I think something that I got to continue to improve is having that level and that energy and drive from point one and in the non-critical points in the set, the 1-1 or the 2-1. I think that whenever it's 5-4 or 6-5, 6-6 in a breaker, usually, you know, sometimes I get tight and nervous like everybody else does, but usually that's when I play my best tennis. So I think it's important for me to continue working on focusing better throughout the match.
But yeah, like he said, he feels like it does motivate him. He feels like he usually plays the best tennis, but I like how he said at the end that he feels like he still needs to improve. But either way, Ben Shelton made it all the way to the fourth round. He has done really well in all four Grand Slams. Like, this is amazing. This is, it excites me. This guy is going to be, once he gets to it, he gets used to these surfaces.
It's going to be. Watch out.
But yeah, shout out to Ben Shelton and Yannick Sinner. But again, as we said, Shelton is still through the doubles. And actually, let's have a quick mention of the doubles of today. So we had a couple that made it through the third round. Dustin Brown and Sebastian Baez, although their opponents Actually did retire the first set quickly, but we'll take it. Asia Muhammad.
Cool seeing Dustin Brown on court again.
Oh yeah,
it's definitely. So cool. I'm like, so wow.
So cool. Yeah. Asia Muhammad and our dealer. Oof, guys, we're back at it again. Let's start again. Let me read this name properly. Okay. I do apologize in advance for butchering the name. Asia Muhammad and Aldila Sujiadi. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. I'm sorry. I know Eugene said that he was laughing actually a little bit when I was pronouncing the names. And I was like, ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha.
He's enjoying it. He's probably laughing right now, but I'm trying. Guys, bear with me. And also next to the third round, Christopher Eubanks and Evan King. And as we said, Ben Shelton and Mackenzie McDonald are through the second round. So can you imagine? Tomorrow is Monday and they're only through their second round of the doubles match. Like, it's crazy for Ben Shelton.
What's the weather like tomorrow?
Good question. I need to know what outfit I'm wearing. You know, I've been trying to kill it out here. So that's why I check the weather. I don't check the weather for the tennis matches first. I check to know what Lucy's going to wear. So, you know, to make sure that she looks like a hottie. In this media center. So it looks like it's raining later in the evening. I think we are free from the rain during the day. It's even going to be sunny early morning. Yeah.
Okay. So we can get some of these doubles matches through. And
yeah, because the outside courts actually up. Yeah, the outside court starts from 11, so should be fine. Hopefully, it's just that whoever's on the last match that day, they might not play tomorrow. We will see. Speaking of tomorrow, here are the order of play. We have Arthur Fils versus Alex de Minaur. Just a heads up, Fils did beat him a couple months ago at Barcelona Open in straight sets. That is on clay, of course. That was the only match that they've already played against each other. But we need to keep in mind that Alex has been having a good season. Him and his girlfriend winning back-to-back matches, pretty kind of cute, you know, K.E. Butler and stuff. And he won a grass title even in the Netherlands. You guys know the name of the tournament. I'm not going to pronounce that. Do you know how to pronounce that tournament name?
Which one did he win?
It's Hechen. Is it in the Netherlands?
Oh,
not...
no, not that. That was the one.
Eugene know how to pronounce it. Properly. Yeah,
we'll let Eugene do it. He's gonna be back soon.
Just knows the Netherlands and stuff. So tomorrow will be an interesting match. I think it will be a long match. I can see it happening. I just hope that Arthur stays strong mentally and he tells himself to shut the F up as he did last time. another singles
gotta keep
match
it in check.
Another singles match that we have tomorrow, Giovanni Mpechi Pericard versus Lorenzo Musetti. Now, the two reasons why this match I'm really excited about. Number one, Musetti is really good on grass. It will be interesting. And number two, Musetti actually did beat him at Stuttgart 7-6, 7-6. It was still really close. He went to a very long tie break. I think it was like up to 10 or something like that. But the reason why I'm excited is because Lorenzo is meeting a different Giovanni.
I think
he's
so.
Me and him are different. I know he saw them serves like, okay, my returns need to be on point. So yes.
And here's the thing: Stuttgart was early in the grass season.
That's true.
Giovanni now has had all this time to play matches, to get more comfortable with his movement. Yep. He's now in the fourth round, second week of Wimbledon. I think it's gonna be different. Very fascinated with how
I think that was even his first grass tournament, the grass season. He went through qualifying and he lost the first round to Lorenzo. So yeah, this is going to be different. It's going to be very interesting. I'm really looking forward to that. In terms of doubles, unfortunately, tomorrow we have Coco Bogulov versus Paolini and Errani. I know.
Sometimes I don't like the draw.
This is annoying. Really. But we shall see how that goes. Shout out to the girls. Good luck to them. Really hate when our girls and our people are like literally banging through together. Like, isn't that fair? At least wait till the final. Not like, when is this? Because then at least it's like, okay, we got a finalist and the champion. Like, we're eating, we're all together. Let's have a cookout and celebrate. But in these conditions, it's like, no. But no. Yeah, either way, that is week one of Wimbledon done. Wow, I can't believe it. It's crazy. It's been entertaining.
It's so funny because it feels like sometimes it's gone on forever. But then on the other hand, I'm like, oh, here we are. We're almost at the end.
I feel the exact same. I feel like I've been here for 2 weeks. But at the same time, today I was like, oh, wait, one day, like day seven. Oh my gosh. Like this time next week, that's going to be the last pod. Like
that'll be it.
Like it's going to be done. Like that is it. But either way, we've been very entertained today and we'll be entertained again tomorrow. So yeah, again, a big fat thank you to you, Anastasia, for joining us this weekend and holding it down.
Thank you for having me. It's been so much fun, like catching up on these 2 days with you.
For sure.
Eugene, you are missed, obviously.
He's all right. I think this vibe is better. Two black women talking about tennis. I mean, I don't know. It can get better than this, you know. I feel like
the vibes are vibing.
Can even stay in the corner. Like we can leave it aside. Like he's probably listening to this. Like
he's like the producer in the back. He's like,
exactly. Yep. Like producer, like, yeah, send us the rundown, Eugene. And we're going to do the fun stuff and talk on the microphone. You can send us the rundown. You can tell us a little stuff, like remind us a little something, you know, whatever. And then we'll be here. He's really going to get on me for saying all of this. But
Eugene, don't worry. I just want to go back to listening to you and Lucy discuss the matches. So I'll be very happy to be a listener starting tomorrow.
Either way, we're definitely going to have you back again. Don't worry. Thank you so much, Anastasia, for joining us. And guys, make sure that you follow the Grandpa's podcast as well on socials. You guys are on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. Yes?
Yep. We're all those places and wherever you listen to podcasts. We're there. Yes,
and that's it. And yeah, and make sure that you stay tuned on Black Spin socials as well for your daily updates and fun tweets from me and a little bit from Eugene. You know, he tries here and there. He's improved a lot. Like he's been very fun on thingy. But as you can see, I'm teasing him a lot because I actually miss him. That's why.
I know. I'm like, I feel it. I'm like, aw.
Yeah. It's been a while. You know, it felt like 1 week, but it's only been 2 days. You know, I miss my bro. Come back. But thank you guys for listening. And we'll be back tomorrow for day 8 at Wimbledon. Thank you.